Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What fun is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
Well, I think it's hard to overstate just how excited Watford were at the beginning of last month. Last month is all we're talking about here. They'd just won only their fourth ever National League title. They'd hammered Wexford and Cork in the semi-final and the final. And they were in pole position to give Limerick, reigning champions Limerick, an unbelievable run for their money in this year's All-Ireland Hurling Championship. They were cock-a-hoop. I was down there visiting family myself just before Easter, and I met a few relatives who were nearly begging me not to tell them how good they were, because that would somehow put the hex on them. But they were. They were playing unbelievable stuff. Even one of their own, Derek McGrath, was getting a little carried away. Here he is talking on the RTÉ GAA podcast 2 days after that league final, setting out where he felt the county team were.
And, you know, I hear this talk of we're contenders. I got a lot of texts last night from up the country. You're definitely contenders. But we're the team to beat. We are the team to beat them. Yeah. Simple as. Yeah. And I don't care who's waiting in the long grass. I heard someone said to me yesterday, Tipper waiting in the long grass to have their eyes on you. They can all wait in the long grass because it's whoever beats Watford, it will be going up the steps. I can tell you that.
That was then, but this is now. Watford out of the Munster Hurling Championship and in rag order. Hello and welcome to today's Second Half of the Podcast. Hello there, Ken.
Hello, how are you?
Well, you know my Watford connections. You know I have a father from Watford. And this is tough. This is not easy.
I love me county.
But they have, well, shat on the eggs here, Ken, in really quite terrible, terrible fashion.
How so?
Even 3 weeks ago, when they played Limerick in the Gaelic Grounds, everyone said... Now, Limerick won that game. They were 8 points up with a couple of minutes to go. Watford got two late goals. But even then, everyone said, you know, these are two teams that will probably play each other three times this year. Again in the Munster final, and again, more than likely, in the All-Ireland final, given how good Watford had been in pretty much, well, you know, pretty much every game so far this year. Then Watford go and lose at home to Cork, and they go from All-Ireland's second favourites to getting pretty much dumped out in one 70-minute nightmare. It's just, it's very hard to get your head around. You spend a lot of time in Limerick, Ken. You know these people intimately. Mm. You know how they think. You're another one of these prominent...
I am one of them in some ways.
Yeah.
Dolan!
You know, one of these prominent pro-Limerick voices in the media. Mm. You're probably delighted to see one of your key rivals get eliminated in this humiliating fashion.
I mean, yes. of course. I took a lot of satisfaction from that over the weekend. Yeah.
Would you say that you're more au fait with sort of the Limerick rugby fraternity than the Limerick hurling fraternity? Now, it's all one fraternity. It's a great sporting city, great sporting county. I'm sure they wouldn't like to be pigeonholed in this fashion. But, you know, it does appear to me that you've met more Jerry Flannerys than you have Joe McInnes, let's say.
No.
Mike Houlihan. Like, have you met Mike Houlihan, Hooley, at any stage over the course of your trips down to Limerick? Gary Kirby? Kieran Carey?
What about Seamus Hickey?
Very good.
My friend Seamus Hickey. So
You like to keep it a bit more relevant, you know? Yeah. Well, I did not expect you to come out with Seamus Hickey there. I'm proud of you.
Well, I literally met and would consider Seamus Hickey a personal friend. Literally would consider him a friend. We haven't been in touch much since our actual in-person meeting. But, you know, I know where... he knows where I am if he needs me, and vice versa.
Yeah. It has been It's been a rough couple of weeks for Waterford, but maybe we should have expected this because Waterford have played three seasons of the Munster Round Robin, 12 games, one win. Quite hard to fathom. It's an unbelievable implosion this year, but actually looking back through 2018 and 2019, when Waterford were still pretty good, I mean, this is not, you know, we're not dealing with terrible Waterford teams.
Are they ahead of their time, do you think?
People of Waterford in my life.
In what way?
Is their brand of hurling too advanced for what the rest of the teams are slinging at them?
Yeah. Oh, so what you're saying is they're so advanced that they're actually losing games because they can't find a dance partner, basically.
That could be.
You know,
could.
Yeah, they want to express themselves in a certain fashion. They have the skills to do it, but unfortunately they do need a rival playing the game at their speed, yeah. at their level.
Yeah.
And when they don't find an opponent at their level, they can get bored. Maybe that's it. Maybe Waterford were just bored this year.
Well, you say bored. I mean, do you mean B-O-R-E-D or B-O-A-R-E-D? Because I'm thinking, you know, if you were a great, for instance, figure skater who ended up when you were expecting to win a figure skating competition, but then you ended up being thrown into a pen with some 400-pound pigs and told to wrestle them. And lost. Would that really be? Would that make you any less of a figure skater? I believe no. But of course, you wouldn't have won any prizes. And in that sense, you're a bit like Waterford.
Mm. It's not even the pig's fault necessarily. They're just doing what they do.
They're doing what comes naturally to them, and you're trying to do what comes naturally to you, and you just don't get it. You don't get the results, and you have to try again next year.
Mm. That's a fresh reading, Ken. I have to say, I hadn't read that in the pages of the Examiner, or indeed the Irish Times, or the Irish Independent, or the Sunday Independent, or the Sunday Times.
Yeah.
So you're coming at this in a whole, just in a magnificent fashion.
Yeah.
And this is the benefit of getting the big picture.
Well, listen, tell me this.
We're in the minutiae.
Well, look, okay. If you're suggesting that isn't what's happened here, what do you think has happened?
See, I hate to say expectation and, you know, hype and optimism.
We are the team to beat them.
It does actually kind of demean what happens, you know, on the training pitch and in the dressing room of these, like, highly trained, highly dedicated, near professional athletes. I mean, this idea that, you know, Derek McGrath going on a podcast and saying that he reckons Waterford are the number one contenders for the All-Ireland Championship, and that this could somehow have some sort of broad impact on the players. I mean, I can't buy it. You know, I think too much of the Waterford hurlers and of, like, hurlers and Gaelic footballers generally to think that something like that actually
has
an impact. How
vengeful is the God that the Waterford people think is policing the utterances of former Waterford legends on podcasts? I mean, it's insane. Like, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of confidence. I know that in Ireland it's always been out of fashion, you know. But
yeah, to be honest, it Waterford, you know, beat Tipperary in, you know, with a poor display, but that's fine. They won the game in their first game this year. They lost to Limerick, which a lot of people were going to expect them to do anyway, given that they had to go to Limerick to play the All Ireland champions. The one game they couldn't afford to lose, given the fact that it wasn't down to points difference. If you finished level on points with another team, it was going to go to the head-to-head result. The one game they couldn't lose was the game against Cork. So once they lost that game, it didn't matter what they did in a lot of ways. If Cork beat, like, you know, kind of, you know, we haven't seen a worse Tipperary team than this in quite a while. Once Cork won that game, it didn't matter what Waterford did against Clare yesterday. And so just the psychological devastation after that Cork game, realising that in the space of one kind of 70-minute nightmare, they went from the second favourites for the All-Ireland title to actually, you know, odds-on favourites to not qualify for the Munster Championship. I mean, you're allowed to have one bad game, you know? Like, they hadn't played well against Tipperary, they played well in fits and starts against Limerick, but they just had their worst performance of the year, of quite a number of years, at the worst possible time. And for all that the round robin is supposed to give you plenty of second chances, and the whole idea of it is, you over the course of four games, you can't have any complaints, and Waterford don't have any complaints, given how bad they were yesterday against Clare. it's still just the rank bad timing of that. And then of course, on the opposite side, you see Cork, who are being like ripped asunder by all and sundry over the course of the last month or so. They brought what needed to be brought to Walsh Park to beat Waterford that day. And now they're cock-a-hoop. They're flying it. We're like really good against, as I say, a pretty poor tip team yesterday. They're hopping off the ground. Now, Jamie Wall tells us they cannot beat Limerick under any circumstances. That's what he said last week. And I would be inclined to agree with him, given the sort of psychological hold that this Limerick team have over this Cork team. But they could beat anyone else, I think, that's left, I reckon. But no one predicted Clare topping the group in Munster, Limerick second, and Cork third. I don't think anyone had that. Now, to be fair, Anthony Daly did predict that Clare would get through, but he predicted that it would be Cork that would lose out. Everyone had Limerick and Waterford in their bracket. But that's not how it worked out.
Well, there's been a lot of talk, Murph, about Munster.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm not hearing is a lot of talk about Dublin. Where's Dublin in
see,
all this?
Ken, you're so acutely aware of what moves the needle in the hurling world. You know, this Munster hurling snobbery. You just pick up on these things naturally, and I love that about you, Ken. But yes, Leinster, Dublin knocked out, and it's been a pretty bad year for Dublin as well. Even notwithstanding that.
Sorry, Dublin are out.
Out, Ken.
But how did that happen?
Out. How could that happen? Well, they just didn't do the business, Ken, when it mattered. If they had won yesterday, given Wexford's brilliant win against Kilkenny in Nolan Park, they actually had a chance to knock Kilkenny out of the Leinster Championship, which would, I would have to say, be quite funny. But that's not what happened. Wexford beat Kilkenny, but it was all academic because Galway were in charge kind of throughout against Dublin.
What was the score? I think
it was 27 points to 20, I think, or 21 maybe.
27-21.
Yeah, no goals.
Well, it doesn't sound like, I mean, the most dominant man.
No, but you know, we hammered them 1-0, as Bill Shankly would say, Ken.
Anti Dublin bias is the biggest load of bollocks.
And it kind of looks like Matty Kenny's era in Dublin is finished. He just hasn't ever really got a convincing song out of this Dublin squad. There was that brilliant win over Galway in Parnell Park in 2019, and that kind of seemed like a statement win for this set of Dublin players. Like, lost to Laois in the All Ireland qualifiers that year. And they just haven't ever really pushed on. And again, it's like they got one goal in the entire Leinster Championship this year in five games, two of them against Laois and Westmeath. And huge, ridiculous over-reliance on Donald Burke, who's got well over 50% of their scores in the Championship this year, I think.
How can you only score one goal in five games?
Yeah, it's, you know, there's...
That's unbelievable.
It is. Westmeath finished on 3 points, drew at Wexford, beat Laois at the weekend. There were the only two positive. They got 10 goals in the Leinster Championship this year.
Right.
And Dublin only got one. So it's, you know, it's kind of weird with the Dublin hurlers, because everyone kind of says, you know, Anthony Daly went in there, got brilliant results, and they need this kind of messianic figure to come in and...
We need a strong leader.
Yeah, there is a lot of... Like, everyone says that about Dublin. And, you know, if Matty Kenny goes... at the end of this season, like, the calls will go out, no doubt, to Davy Fitzgerald. And the idea will be that Davy has the kind of charisma to carry. But I mean, I don't know how Dublin hurling people are supposed to feel about that. This idea that, you know, is, you know, we just need to keep bringing in these, like, massive figures from outside the county. I mean, Matty Kenny is a Galway man. At least he has trained Coola for years. So...
Well, we don't have the knowledge. Don't have the knowledge in Dublin.
Yeah, see, that's bollocks, Ken.
Do we have the knowledge? Do we have the character? Do we have the experience of winning big titles?
I think the question really is, do you have the forwards? And the answer to that is no. So I don't know how much Davy Fitzgerald can do about that. But certainly...
Why don't we have the forwards? Why don't we have the forwards? We've got some of the finest... We've got the most resources, as we keep hearing all the time. Mm-hmm. We've got the numbers... You know?
Yeah, I know.
We've got some fine specimens of humanity here in Dublin. You know?
Big bits of beef.
Well, what are we looking for? Sure. What are we looking for hurling forwards? Like, what's the spec? Like, you know, how do I, if I was to go out today and start to inspect the human I mean, I was going to say horse flesh, but human flesh doesn't work. But, you know, if I was to go and to sort of run my eye over the specimens of humanity that I see walking around here in the streets of North Dublin.
Well, that's a simple question to ask.
What am I looking for in a, to find hurling for?
You got to look at their wrists, Ken. Is there magic in them, their wrists?
Right.
That's the question.
So
that's
I'm
the
looking
question
for
you have
a thick-wristed man.
Yeah, wristy hurlers, Ken. And Dublin people get very annoyed when, like, Dunlow Cusack got into massive trouble there a couple of years ago when he said that the skill level isn't there. You know, they're athletes, sure, but have they got the skill level? Are they working on their skills enough? That's the question. It remains unanswered. Certainly, if Dublin were able to produce a couple of inside forwards, like properly dangerous inside forwards, then they have a lot of the other pieces. But until that happens, it's kind of hard to see. I mean, they went and beat Wexford in Wexford Park this year. I mean, that should have been the springboard. They shouldn't really be losing out, particularly as, you know, the aforementioned head-to-head rule. It did always seem like it was probably going to come down to between Dublin and Wexford. But Wexford threw a spanner in the works by beating Kilkenny in Nolan Park. They squeaked that draw against Galway. Like, to draw with Westmeath and beat Kilkenny inside 7 days is a pretty mental form line, but that's Wexford. You know, Dara Egan is a really good coach. Everyone I've spoken to about him, they speak really highly of him. But the last couple of months, getting hammered in the league semi-final by Waterford, playing really poorly actually kind of throughout the Leinster Championship, it's really hard to explain. So it was belated, but we did actually finally get a chance to see what Dara Egan has been doing with this Wexford team. And that's good to see. So Wexford and Cork are in the qualifiers. Leinster final between Galway and Kilkenny. Munster final between Clare and Limerick. Cork will play the Joe McDonagh Cup winners. Wexford will play the runners-up. Antrim and Kerry play that final before the Leinster final on June 4th in Croke Park.
I still don't know why we can't simply buy success in this sport as apparently we were able to do in the other sport. Like, what's the problem there? Why can't we buy
The Liam McCarthy?
McCarthy Cup.
Yeah. Sorry, there's just a slight delay on your line there, Ken.
I was thinking Buckley.
Liam Buckley. No. Well, the short answer to that is the starting base of your footballers compared to your hurlers 20 years ago when the money really started getting flashed around was rather different. Dublin were in the top four or five teams in the country in football. And the hurlers were absolutely nowhere. So what's happened in the last 20 years has been good for Dublin. They've been winning All-Ireland titles and Leinster titles at minor and schools and not quite so much at under-21 level, but, you know, the progress has been made. They were just starting from much further back. So I know, Ken, you've expressed an interest. It won't be Dublin, but it might well be Limerick, another team close to your heart. You've expressed an interest in attending an All-Ireland hurling semi-final or two this year, Ken.
Well, I wanted to. Yeah.
Yeah, you've been caught off guard by this new squeezed schedule.
Well, apparently it's all like happening in the next couple of days. I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand this. I thought that it was meant to be towards the end of summer. And here we are. It's like, when is it happening next week?
No, the All-Ireland semi-finals were played the weekend of the 2nd and 3rd of July, but the All-Ireland final is being played on the 17th of July, which is obviously way earlier than it's ever been. So it's been this, basically, the GAA has adopted this split season model, so club players around the country have certainty when they're playing their championships.
But this is not this strikes me as just absolutely ripping up the fabric of Irish life. But is it really?
Like this I mean, it is. Obviously, All-Ireland finals in September is a big part of Irish life, as you say, Ken. Not just
It's what the summer builds towards. It's what we structure our idea of the year around. You know, and once those finals have been disputed, you know, once the trophies have been won, and then the leaves are beginning to turn brown, and the nights are beginning to come in. But that's, you know. So what is with this? It's as though they knocked down the Parthenon and you know, rebuilt it in the middle of a roundabout.
Well, listen, Ken, I can hear the anger in your voice. You're fucking raging. And, you know, we can add your name to the names of Roy Curtis and John Brennan of the Sunday World, who are also appalled at this change.
Well,
and it comes down to this.
So, yeah.
As far as you, Roy Curtis and John Brennan are concerned, no one cares about the club game. Why don't the GAA think for a second of the casual fan, the fan of the intercounty game?
Is this not true, though?
Not affiliated with any club, who wants to see the best players playing throughout the summer. And listen, you, Roy Curtis, and John Brennan of the Sunday World are on the same page about a lot of things. And it's no surprise to see you three in agreement on this as well.
Roy Curtis, the two-time sports writer of the year?
Listen, Ken, I'm not disputing it. So, this is basically, the GAA are not immune to this, but they've made a decision to prioritise club players. So, what does this mean? Basically, club players know when their games are on, they can train with their championship in mind, they can book holidays for themselves in high summer, knowing they won't have to cancel them at short notice because the game's been fixed. This seems like nothing to you. It means a hell of a lot to current club players. The fact of the matter is, this debate is kind of bubbling along. I don't even know if this works or not, this whole the idea of a split season. But I do know that judging it now, before we've even gotten to the halfway point of the calendar year, is completely pointless. So I think we just wait and see if the much-muted benefits to the club player are felt. They may not be. And we can decide then, at the end of the year, if there are tweaks which can be made.
You know, but just, well, they don't even know what they have, you know, the fools. Like, they don't even know what's being lost here. You know, we're just saying, oh, why don't we just have that there, you know? Why don't we...
Listen, the GAA are known for these snap decisions, you know, just like running headlong into massive...
Change.
Structural change. You know, that's just what they do, Ken, you know? They, you know, shoot now, you know, apologise later, you know, or not. Don't even apologise. Just shoot and forget about it. Just keep going.
It
just
is better. It is better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Is the philosophy of the GAA.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out, Kenna. But I am sorry to see your dreams of attending an All Ireland semi-final turn to dust. We'll be back tomorrow with Owen McDevitt back in charge and with a full preview of the four provincial Gaelic football finals being played next weekend, as well as a little look at an unbelievably tasty qualifier draw made this morning as well. Armagh at home to Tyrone, Mayo at home to Monaghan, Cork Lads and Claremeath. Loads to look forward to with Usheen and Paul Flynn. Till then, thank you, Accordia.
Thank you very much, Gormahogath, Akiron, August Sloan.
Thanks for listening, and by me the Rash Arish Amorik.
I could hear it in the tinkling of the Talca.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.